is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, good friends. Great to be with you again. You know, I want to thank my friend Johnny Ray Watson, who sings our theme song, It's Beginning to Rain. Wanda has told Johnny's wife just recently, she talked to her and said, Johnny has got to get that album updated. He put this record, song on a record album he had some years ago, but it's out of print now, and it has some of the most beautiful songs on it, including It's Beginning to Rain. She said, you've got to tell Johnny he's got to get that album out again and get it back in stock, because so many people have requested information about it. They love Johnny Ray's melodic voice, and I do too. Well, we're going to have some other music for you in just a moment here. And, God does see what we can be. And remember the old Army commercial of a few years ago, be all that you can be? Well, listen, you pay attention to the words of this song by the Cathedrals, and I tell you, it's exciting and thrilling. I'd like to hear from you. How are we doing here? Are we sending you a blessing through the Lord? Well, let us know. We do want to hear from you. And if you have a prayer need, pass that on to us too. You know, we don't sell anything here at Bible Home Church. All we do is preach the gospel, preach the truth, and it's going around the world, and we appreciate all of your very fine help. Now, we do have the Cathedrals in this song, and then right after that, we're going to have yet another segment, because it gets better every week. It does. I just get more fired up every week. And it's, you know, like a spinning top, but it just doesn't, you know, lose its energy and kinetic force and drop off. It just keeps moving and spinning because, you know, that's the way the Word of God does. The more you get into it, the more you learn, and the more just adventurous it is. It never gets old, my friends. Believe me, it will always be an adventure discovering the mysteries of the Lord. And one of those are the prophetic mysteries, which are my favorite, of course, as you know. And we're going to be talking about the prophecies in the letters of the Apostle Paul in the Bible. And we have another segment on that. I know you're going to enjoy it. But first, here are the Cathedrals. He saw what I could be.
He saw what I could. still be lost as lost could be. And although I'm still far from perfect, I'm even further still, you see, from the light.
And request the discharge. So the young enlisted man, he got the form and he filled it out. And it said reason for request for discharge and put down insanity. You know, I'm crazy. He turns it in. The commanding officer said, disapproved, and stamped it. The guy said, well, wait. Why are you disapproving? He says, well, anyone who is sane enough to be able to fill out a form like you did is not crazy. He said, but you told me I had to fill out the form. He said, you do. You cannot be discharged until you fill out the form. But if I fill out the form, then I'm not crazy. He said, that's right. He said, then what is this? The guy said, well, that's that's provision 22 of the regulation. He said, I'll tell you what it is. It's catch 22. So Chuck Smith and Dave Hunt say, Jesus will not come again and rapture you until there first is a rapture. Let me tell you, my friends, that's saying there ain't going to be any rapture. There's not going to be a rapture because there has to be a rapture before there's a rapture. I think these people are pretty mixed up, and they're trying awfully hard to pervert the Word of God and make it fit their own false teachings. You know, there's a verse in Romans that I really like a lot. Chapter 16, beginning with verse 24. Let me read it to you. I think it'll have a lot of meaning for you today. At first glance, it doesn't seem like prophecy. But let's just, you know, hang on, friends. Let's just see. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's verse 24. Verse 25 reads, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. You say, well, okay, Tex, that's wonderful, but what does it say? It says here, my friends, that the preaching of Jesus, the gospel, the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, the scriptures of the prophets, the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations. What does it all mean? Well, he sums it up. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. God is the only one who's truly wise. And to him owes glory through Jesus Christ forever. Well, that looks to me then that God deserves all the glory. Everything in creation, he gets all the glory for. No matter what you do that's good, he gets the glory. everything, my friends. He gets the glory. That's why you thank God for all things. You say, well, how about the bad things? Thank him anyway. He gets the glory. You say, well, I don't think God wants the glory for these bad things that are happening. Oh, you don't understand, my friends. You have your head stuck in the sand because all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. He has a purpose for these things. You say, even for disease? Yes. Even for the fact that I lost my job? Yes. Even for the fact that I have a son or a daughter that got on drugs and got strung out? Yes. Wow. That changes everything. You mean even when bad things happen, God knows and God has a plan? Yes. It's all going to work out okay? Yes. Absolutely. My sister Joyce used to go down and visit her. We'd watch a football game. Oh, she was a big avid fan of the Dallas Cowboys. Well, they'd get about 3 touchdowns behind. Boy, I was over there. I was all depressed. Oh, no, they're 20-some-odd points behind. It's the, you know, beginning of the fourth quarter. Oh, man, we've lost this game. And Joyce, she'd look at me and she'd smile. She'd say, hey, don't worry. We got them right where we want them. And she'd just laugh. And, you know, sometimes, quite a few times, the Dallas Cowboys came back and won against great odds. This is the way God works. You know, you look around the world, oh, things are so bad, it's so horrible. I just don't know, oh my, woe is us. Let me tell you something, my friends. I don't care if the score is 50-0, we got the devil right where we want him. You keep that in mind. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. But wait, how about through Muhammad? Are they talking about God or Allah here? And then there are all the spirits that the Buddhists pray to, the animist spirits. What about them? And the Shintos, they pray to their dead ancestors. What about that? And the Hindus have 3 million gods and deities. What about them? Well, the Bible says there's only one God, and he works through Jesus Christ. It says, in fact, Paul said, in him, Jesus Christ, is all the fullness of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in Jesus. Oh, that changes things, doesn't it? It does. Because here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Listen to this, my friends. Is it okay to have a Buddhist monk in your pulpit of your church? Is it okay to have a Muslim mufti come in and preach? Is it all right to join hands with the other faiths, the other religions, the other gods? Let us see. Verse 14 of chapter 6 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. My friends, you cannot be yoked together with unbelievers. You cannot be to have fellowship with the unrighteousness who know not Jesus Christ, who know not the one wise God who works only through Jesus Christ, said Paul. You can't have agreement with the temple that has idols in it of other gods. You say, well, I don't go to church with them, but is it okay just to associate and pray with them? I go to a 12-step meeting, and there's Buddhists and Hindus and atheists, but we all hold hands together and say the Lord's Prayer. Is that okay? It's not church. It's just an AA 12-step meeting. It's not church. Does that make it okay? You didn't invite them into your church. You haven't defiled the temple of God then, right? Which is church. But wait, what does Paul say in verse 16? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. My friends, listen to me. God knows no building, no sanctuary. God knows no synagogue, no mosque. God works in people, in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, said Paul. And it is you that is defiled. People think, well, I didn't defile some building. I didn't go in there and bring some statue. Went to a meeting one time, prison fellowship, you know, Chuck Colson's group, somebody invited me, and I went to see what went on there. Had a pastor, Baptist, Southern Baptist, and he gave the blessing, and he asked the blessing for the food in the name of, if I can remember right, you know, in the name of the God of Isaac and Jacob and Muhammad and Allah. Southern Baptist. Let me tell you something, my friends. If he was a Christian, truly a Christian, then God dwelt in him. And he expressed agreement with the temple of devils. And he expressed concord. That means unity, harmony of the supposed Christ that was in him with Baal, which is the devil. And what part, I should have asked him, hath he that believeth with an infidel? I believe that was a religious meeting there, and it was in some hotel. You see, it had nothing to do with the church. This man defiled himself before us all. And you better believe I let him know about that. But of course, he never invited me to come to speak at his church either. You can count on that. My friends, if you want to be a son of God, a daughter of God, verse 18 says, if you will touch not the unclean thing, he will receive you. You know what that means? You just go to those interfaith worship services. God won't receive you. The Holy Spirit in you will be grieved if you're a Christian. Don't call yourself a son or daughter of God. He's not going to receive the unclean thing. It's essential that you understand that in this day when they're trying to bring all the religions of the world together and the United Nations is working to do so and keeps having these global religious conferences. And there's some Episcopal bishop named Swing that's putting together a United Religions organization, URO, working with former Soviet president Mikhail Gorbachev, working out of the Presidio, offices in the Presidio, former Army installation out in California. These people believe themselves to be wise, and after all, they have such high degrees, and they're theologians, and why, they've graduated from Yale Divinity School and all the others. But let's go back to what Paul, the prophet, said, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. My friends, listen to me. There are millions of people out there seeking after spiritual things. I have never seen such a hunger for spiritual things as we see in planet Earth today. It is unbelievable. I'm telling you, my friends, sales at religious, including Christian bookstores, have been skyrocketing, even in time of recession. And people want to have religious records, and there's Christian rock and contemporary music and all kind of spiritual music. And then there's this new age singer called Enya, and her albums are selling by the millions. Inspirational hits, they call many of these things. And people are seeking after the ancient wisdom, the perennial wisdom, the perennial philosophy of the Gnostics, oh, the New Age, the occultic things, the Masonic order secrets. And the Jews are still seeking after a sign. They're still waiting for the Messiah, not even knowing that He came. What does Paul say? These people all think they're wise. They say, we're foolish. That's okay. That's what we do. We're just fools for Christ. Holy fools who preach Christ crucified. The Jews, that's the stumbling block. They hate the idea that Jesus was crucified because they called out, give us Barabbas. Free Barabbas. Crucify him. Crucify Jesus. And they don't like it when you remind them. They're the ones that did that, and they need to repent today of their sins and accept He who was crucified. But that's a stumbling block to them. And the rest of the world says, wow, that's foolish. Paul says, verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now listen, in these last days, my friends, you are going to feel foolish. The world will make you appear to be foolish. Because I preach against and expose other false religions and cults, I have been called a hater. Why do you hate so many people, Tex Mars? They ask me when I go on different radio programs and such. Why are you such a mean-spirited, bigoted hater of men? And why do you believe in this foolishness? Some years ago, I interviewed Madeline Murray O'Hare, and she said, why do you believe in this foolishness of the Bible? Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I'm telling you, my friends, you say, I'm weak. I can't stand against the great strength of the devil in these last days. I'm glad you recognize that, my friends. I'm glad that you cry out and say, Lord, I don't have the strength. Because God, at His weakest, is stronger than men. There's no force allied against you that God cannot defeat. For ye see your calling, brethren, we continue with Paul here, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Wow. Not many people who consider themselves wise after the world are chosen by God. Not many mighty men, not many noble, are called by God. Now you know why Satan is God of this world. Now you know why John said the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now you know why the presidents and the prime ministers and the bishops and the cardinals and the popes and all the rest of them have not Jesus in their heart, because they are the mighty men. They call themselves the wise men. They're the noble men, but they are not the called men.
Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues his fascinating series on the prophecies in the letters of Paul. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky.
it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.